This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner is with us today. She has a lot to say about the leaked draft of a Supreme Court majority opinion that, if formalized, will overturn Roe versus Wade. And it's ironic because that's not even the news that we thought we would be talking with Judge Gertner about this week. She's our legal analyst. And the court also ruled this week on a case directly involving the city of Boston and its refusal in 2017 to allow an organization to fly a flag depicting a Christian cross at City Hall. The court ruled against the city. So we are in a moment where what is happening in the highest court in the land raises a lot of questions about what can, what does, and what will happen here at home. And we are glad to welcome Judge Gertner back to our air to talk with us about it. Nancy Gertner, welcome back.
Good to be back.
All right, let's start with the caveats. They're important. This is a draft opinion. It's not finalized. So how seriously do we take the document that was leaked, Judge Gertner?
We take it very seriously. We take it very seriously because it carves out, in my view, a far right, a far sort of extreme position with respect to Roe v. Wade. And the notion that if it could garner five votes from the Supreme Court, then the implications are staggering. So it carves that out. Now, it's always possible that the decision there would be, there would be some changes in it, a different position on X or Y, softening the language. There's a possibility that Justice Alito's position, which is really stunningly broad, ending Roe v. Wade protections, having implications for protections all across the country and having implications for other rights that are protected, that are unenumerated rights, not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. It's possible, I suppose, that Justice Roberts, and we understand at least, wants to carve out a middle path and simply affirm the 15-week limitation on abortion after 15 weeks in the Mississippi statute. That is a more moderate position, not very moderate, but more moderate. It's possible that that would win the day. But this is a stunning sort of abrogation of 50 years of precedent. So it was really breathtaking.
So there are a couple of things I want to pick up on there. So let's start with this draft opinion written, as we understand it, by Justice Samuel Alito, arguing in part, as I understand it, no constitutional right to abortion. You called it stunning. I do want to ask you, as we kind of run the analysis, are there any points in the case that he makes that you think are strong in favor of reversing Roe, although it's clear that on balance, obviously, you don't think that's there?
The whole approach, so let's pause for a second. The approach here is that the only rights that matter are rights that are enumerated in the Constitution. What does that mean? Well, that puts at risk gay marriage. It puts at risk the position that the Constitution prohibits any prohibition on interracial marriage. It puts at risk birth control. Of course, none of these are in the Constitution. The Constitution was written in the 18th century when women were property, when black people were property. So, of course, it's not enumerated because the drafters of the Constitution simply didn't care about these issues. So if we have a Constitution that only protects enumerated rights, then the things that we've come to rely on, the kinds of protections we've come to rely on, will be at risk. He also says that the Constitution protects rights that were of long standing, and the implication is long standing at the time of the drafting of the Constitution, or perhaps the drafting of the 14th Amendment, which came after the Civil War. Again, put that in the context of the times. They were not about to bother with women's rights because women had no rights, surely at the time the Constitution was drafted, but even by the post-Civil War period, when women tried to get protection for the vote and for equal protection explicitly in the post-Civil War amendments and failed. So this is a measure that really changes the nature of constitutional protections in this country.
And it sounds like you reject it wholesale.
Absolutely. The notion that we are tied to a document, by the way, that even the drafters of it purposely spoke in general language because the country, even then, smaller than it was diverse. When you read about constitutional debates around the drafting of the Constitution in the 18th century, you see that, you know, everybody thought it meant something different. So the notion that that it had a particular content that will restrict us today is absurd.
So Judge Gertner, as we've tracked this over the years and had conversations about the court, to use layperson's language, there has been this, you know, these emerging sides of interpretation of the Constitution, one being much more, again, using lay language, originalist, right? What you just said Justice Alito is doing here. If it wasn't in the original Constitution or a longstanding right, then it doesn't count now. Is that, I mean, we have a number of major legal institutions, legal education institutions here in the Commonwealth. Is that a school of thought that it's advanced by any legal thinkers here? Are we training lawyers here in the Commonwealth who are coming up with that training and that perspective?
Well, I think that we are to a degree because we have a Supreme Court now that has legitimized it. Legitimized it not by one or two justices, but at least five.
We think.
So, yes, of course, we have to train lawyers in this method of constitutional interpretation because that's what this court is saying. It is not, up until recently, you know, it's not even close to the mainstream interpretation, but that could be changing, and that could be changing because of decisions like this.
So that could affect the curriculum, for example, at Suffolk Law School.
Yes, it could affect the curriculum everywhere. I mean, I think you would be remiss if you didn't teach it to students now, given the fact that it is, you know, Supreme Court orthodoxy, at least for five. But, you know, you also have to deal with the critique, which is substantial. I just finished a book on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she must be turning over in her grave, not just about this particular outcome, you know, whether there's abortion rights or not, but the approach. Her work, her life was based on expanding the interpretation of equal protection to include women, to include different understandings about women's rights. According to this decision, that would have been for naught.
And I want to underscore for our listeners, I know you just finished a book on her, but you also knew her and knew her pretty well.
Yes, that's right. If you want inside baseball for a moment, Alito cites to a decision which found that discrimination against pregnant women is not sex discrimination. That's what he cites to, because after all, men can't get pregnant. I mean, so abortion regulation that affects only women and affects them mightily affects the decision to bear or beget a child. Those restrictions have nothing to do with sex discrimination.
It also leaves really out, of course, non-gender conforming members of our community,
right.
Trans members of our community. I mean, it's a very limited view of gender and sex as well.
A totally limited view, and a view that is ossified in, you know, the 18th century, and perhaps, you know, in the 19th century. But even then, you know, I'm writing about this because I can't stand it, so I have to write. One scholar reports that laws criminalizing contraception and abortion were justified as a method of ensuring that women performed their duties as wives and mothers.
Okay, so I want to come home to the state now because partly you're raising the hair on the back of my neck, but also partly because as we talk about this, Judge Gertner, what keeps running through my head is, again, over the last couple years, as we thought we were heading to this kind of legal challenge and a moment when the court might make a decision like this, the conversation you and I have had a number of times is Massachusetts is safe. Again, my words. Massachusetts is safe, that we have enshrined protections that mean we will be a state many others will turn to should this opinion actually come forward in June from the Supreme Court. But I feel like I am hearing from you that that's not necessarily now the case.
Well, right now, our Constitution protects the right to choose, as it does gay marriage, as it did a whole host of rights that were found under the Due Process Clause of the state constitution. People should know there's a state constitution that is, and a federal constitution. Our high court in 1980 interpreted the state constitution to protect those rights.
Our high court meaning the Supreme Judicial Court
the
here
Supreme
in Massachusetts.
Supreme Judicial Court, that's right. There cannot be a state any state legislation in Massachusetts that would say otherwise, because that would collide directly with the language of these decisions. However, Alito in this decision talks about the rights of the fetus, and doesn't mention, by the way, women's health, let alone pregnancies that came about through rape or incest. But he talks about the rights of the fetus. If the federal government passed a law enshrining the rights of the fetus as a federal matter, that would undo protections in Massachusetts. So no state legislature in Massachusetts could possibly undo the state constitutional protections. But a federal statute, particularly one of the breadth of this decision, that says no abortion because we believe that the fetus is a human being, there would be litigation for the next umpteen years, could well trump state protections for abortion. If the fetus is a human being, and I might add, then birth control is at risk.
So as we're parsing these words, I want to take a second, Judge Gertner, from a scientific standpoint, when we talk about the ways OB-GYNs, for example, would use the language, just embryo until about 10 weeks, 8 weeks after fertilization. Most OB-GYNs use the term embryo early in a pregnancy. It is after that that the technical term switches to fetus, and usually baby is used from a scientific standpoint after the child is born. So OBGYN we're talking about. So I just want to clarify that, because we have scientific, we have the languages that people use in various religious and faith communities, and now we have the language that we're using in the law. So go ahead.
Well, the language of the decision suggests that the fetus is a human being. Your point is an interesting one. That is a point of view with which others disagree, and with which the scientific community disagrees, and with which the philosophical community disagrees, and I might add the religious community disagrees.
Right.
So how stunning it would be that the Supreme Court would adopt a view, of the status of the fetus, which is at odds with all of these other constituencies, and enshrine that in the Constitution, and worse yet, enshrine it in a statute. That would be, that could well undo protections across the country. And I suppose it would depend on the language of it.
And then would it also depend on enforcement, Judge Gertner? Here's what's on my mind. Here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, recreational use of cannabis is legal. That is still illegal federally. And we've had conversations with law enforcement officers at several levels in the past where the question becomes, what does the federal government choose to enforce and not enforce when a state's rights are different than the federal law? And that's the kind of question we would start to see come up, correct?
That's right. I mean, if there is it will not happen in this Congress, but certainly if the Senate changes hands and if the House changes hands and has enough votes to override a veto, we could see it in the next couple of years. And you're right, the way it would come up would be essentially criminal prosecutions of women and doctors who are seeking women who are seeking abortions and doctors that are doing it. Yes, there could be criminal prosecutions. The defense to the criminal prosecution would be, hey, our state constitution protects that. But as we have seen with cannabis, if the federal government has enacted this for the country, The fact that it is allowed in Massachusetts is not a defense to a federal prosecution. Let me say there's something deeply ironic, by the way, about this conversation. The gist of Justice Alito's decision is that we should let each of the individual states decide about abortion. Well, our state did and has, and it's been clear. If the federal government, the Congress, wishes to override those individual protections around the country, it will be turning this argument on its head. It's not let the states decide. It would be the federal government then essentially preempting these kinds of regulations. And I think, we talk in terribly sterile terms about this. And forgive me if I'm getting out of my lane here, the right to choose, it, for me, for Justice Ginsburg, certainly women of my generation, was essential to our abilities to function as a public citizen. If you can't choose when to bear and beget a child, or even if, it doesn't matter whether we've gotten equal pay for equal work. It doesn't matter whether the doors are open to your hiring if all of a sudden your life has changed to that degree. So Ginsburg believed that the right to choose abortion was part and parcel of the right not to be discriminated against.
That's what gets called into question if we...
What's stunning about this decision is he not only is specifically trashing the reasoning of Roe v. Wade and advancing this concept that only enumerated rights matter, he also... sends a shot over the bow for Justice Ginsburg's analysis of this as a sex discrimination issue. He essentially says there's no issue any longer about, out of wedlock children. So who cares, right? Women are not hurt in the same way.
Oh, Judge Gertner.
It's a stunning decision.
There's so much there. And we will have you back to talk more for sure. I appreciate you giving us your take. Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and WBUR legal analyst. Judge Gertner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.